Yeah. In just a minute, the veil will be torn and the doors will swing wide. And then we're gonna run inside, surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who've gone before us and who will come after us and who we will join. God is good. God is good. And we are in this place, standing on holy ground. Amen. Let's pray. God, you are so good, and we praise you today as our Lord and Savior and King and friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, before I was distracted by the worship and the communion thoughts and the unity prayer and the offering prayer, amen, let's go home. We're going to say a word about judging others. Because you know why? It's a problem. And so let's just get together and talk about the problem for a minute and see if we can walk out with a better frame of mind about our own problem and the problem we share together. One of the things, as you know, I work in Abilene, some volunteering with this local rehab, and the leader of it has this prayer, prays in a regular way, I call it a submission prayer. Man, I was gonna try to change the slides with my car keys. That was not gonna work. Yeah. There's a beeping going on. And this is it. He says, "You know my heart. I know you're sovereign. Your will be done. You know my heart. You're sovereign. You're in charge. You're the King. You're the Lord. Your will be done." Often the thing I want and ask for may not be what the sovereign Lord wants for me. But he knows my heart. He knows my heart. And one of the things I continually give him is my tendency, not just me, but in this case, a we kind of tendency to judge others. And the scriptures are full of warnings about that. So it's not like this is something that's surprising to God about me. God is not surprised when Bob judges someone else. He's not pleased about that, but he's not like, you know, surprised. He's not like, "Oh, I did not see that coming." He knows us. And so he has some words for us, I think, today. And first is, these are very familiar scriptures, but I want to kind of just talk through it. One is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, and I'm calling it the speck and the plank verse. So he says, "Don't judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And what measure you use, it will be measured to you." And then he says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye?" I mean, this is one of the most, I think, humorous things Jesus says. I wonder if he was using a PowerPoint. I wonder what kind of slide he would use for that, describing that, you know. But isn't this the lesson for us? Don't judge other people. Don't judge other people. And often when you do, you're looking past your own problems to reach out and swat them about their problem. We're all got stuff. Really, perhaps we all have planks. We're plank people. I'm going to get back to that plank in a minute. I wish maybe I could be a sawdust in the eye speck person, but I'm probably a plank person. And so for us plank, you know, one of the things is just to keep your mouth shut. But the problem doesn't, it's not just in your mouth where you judge. It's in your mind. And so I think it's better to just judge in the mind and keep your mouth shut. You know, hey, like if you're going to die from a gunshot wound or cancer, I think one is better than the other, but they're both deadly, you know, either one. And so don't judge. And so this is Jesus. It's not just once, it's so often. So another reading, and we did this before. Remember when we were going through James and we talked about, seemed like every week we talked about don't show favoritism for a while because it's everywhere. Well, that's part of the judging problem is, but James goes at it like this, brothers and sisters, don't slander one another. Don't talk smack. He's really getting at the mouth part. Anyone who speaks against his brother or sister judges them, he speaks against the law and judges it. Because in the Old Testament law, there's a lot about judging also. We're not going to go into that today, but it's there. And when you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting on judgment on it. When you judge another person, you are actually, what he's trying to say, you're judging God and his instructions for us. And he says, there's only one lawgiver and judge. And that's the one sitting on the throne, in the throne room. We're running inside. Man, I'm excited that God is the king and not me. I'm excited that God is the king and some of you. But God is the king. He's the creator, sustainer of life. And he is the judge. And he is the gracious judge. Wow. You know, if our judging was all gracious like God's, he might not have said, don't do it. But that's not the way we go at it. Ours is a finding fault, looking for something that you're not doing well. Looking for something, well, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But he keeps on going and says, there's only one lawgiver and judge. This is James 4, verse 12. And he's the only one able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge? And we humbly say, I'm not. I don't want to make those decisions. Those decisions aren't in my grasp. And there's other verses. And again, I was going to use them, but something else jumped into my heart. So we're just going to go with the idea, you know, judge. Don't do it. But why? Why do we often judge? Well, one reason I think is pride. Why do we have such this tendency? Well, one of the reasons is because we think a little too highly of ourselves. But I want to say that also pride has this other side to it, which is that we think too lowly of ourselves. I'll get to that in a second. First of all, pride says, I'm always right. Humility says, I think I'm right. I don't want to know. I'm not a guy, and you aren't either, a person who continually thinks, you know, I'm wrong about that, and just keep on going. You think, no, I'm right. But when we think I'm always right and don't have the humility to say, I could be wrong, that leads us down. For me, it's like this. Well, I do it this way. That must be the right way. Because you know what? It's the way I do it. Or from my heritage. I'm from Texas. Therefore, Texas is good. You know, outside of Texas, people don't necessarily think the same thing as Texans think about Texans. You know that? And you know what? See, this is what the pride I'm talking about right there. I mean, this is exactly it. I'm always right. Or for me, I was raised in the Church of Christ. And you know what? We were always right. Down to this the smallest little detail. I mean, what kind of could you use shape notes or not? I mean, have y'all ever heard of that? A debate about shape notes? Yeah, Sarah, come on. Stupid pride, because I do it. That's the way it ought to be. I think this is the best road to go. I think this is the best way to handle my children. I think this is the best, because that's what I think. But remember, I want to go back to the plank and the speck for a second. Here's the plank and the speck, I think, put into a story. It's John 8, where Jesus is met by some people who are bringing him a woman who is, they say, caught in adultery. And their hands were full of stones. They were going to stone her, and they wanted to ask him, mainly so they could trick him and get him into some kind of trouble. Now then, Jesus was the only one really worthy to judge that moment. But in that moment, it was clear some of these people had a plank in their eye. Their plank was self-righteousness. The speck in this case was prostitution. Had I rather my child grow up to be self-righteous or a prostitute? I'd rather have a speck than a plank. Or him. We got a speck in our eye, perhaps here and there, but the plank is what Jesus is speaking to. It's that self-righteous attitude that my way is the only way, and if you're not doing it my way, you're less than, and I judge you. Now, here's another side of the coin, though, about judging and about pride. Sometimes we just feel bad about ourselves. And this is a different kind of pride. We always think of pride feeling too good about me. But there's this other thing that where I feel bad about myself, one of the things I do when I feel bad about myself is I look for ways to build myself up. And one of the ways I build myself up is by tearing you down. And so I'll tear you down in order to build myself up, because I've got a pride problem. But the pride problem is that I think too little of myself. I don't see myself as a son of God. Because if I see myself as a son of God, I don't have a low esteem. I'm God's son. I don't need to tear you down to lift me up. But this is where much of judging comes from, criticizing, finding something wrong with looking for something wrong in other people, judging, because we don't embrace our true identity, Son of God. There were several ways I was going to end this sermon, and I'm going to get to the way in a minute. It's going to just flow through. But a couple things came up. One was Steve's communion thoughts. But another was my memory of how Bradley and Brian over here met each other. These two guys have kind of become friends. And some of y'all know Brett, obviously the one sitting in this room, you know Bradley a lot better than you know Brian. But if you know Bradley, you know Bradley likes movies. Amen?
Yeah.
They're working the plan to get to go to the movies together, Brian and Bradley. They talk on the phone on a regular basis, Brian and Bradley. They each ask me, is Bradley going to be there today? And Bradley asked me, is Brian going to be there today? I said, what about me, guys? But I remember the first time they met. You know, Brian's here because he's having to go to jail every night over in Cleburne. Because he had a prison time to serve. So I was sitting between them the first time they met. And, hi, I'm Bradley. Hi, I'm Brian. And then in a minute, Bradley noticed, as we all have, that Brian has some art on his body. And Bradley said to me, kind of low voice, he said, he has a lot of tattoos. And I said, yeah, he does. And he said, you know, you get those in prison. And I said, yeah, Brian's been to prison. And Bradley's head went straight down in his hands and he began to weep. There was no judgment in Bradley. Just compassion. No judging. No trying to build himself up. No trying to say, I'm better than you. No trying to say, you can't be here. I can't be your friend. Just compassion. And Brian says to me, is he okay? And he says, well, he's concerned because you were been to prison. And Brian reaches across my lap and puts his hand on Bradley's forearm. He says, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. Two brothers meeting each other. No judgment. No, I'm better than you. No, you don't belong here. None of that. Is that good? Holy ground. This place is holy ground. So, a lot of the time, my ways and God's ways aren't the same. I have my ways, and I'm trying to find God's ways. I still believe most of the time I'm right. If I didn't think I was, I'd change, you know, because I want to be 100%. But I'm not at that level right now. But I still pray this prayer. God, you know my heart. You're sovereign. It's your ways, not my ways. You're always right. I often have to admit to you, I thought I was doing the right thing, but now as I come to know you better, God, I see this isn't what you wanted. I used to think this and this and this, but as I've come to know you more, I've read your word more, I've gotten wise counsel from other brothers and sisters, I've come to know the path I was on was not the right one. So you are sovereign. Your will be done. I was going to close it. The first shot was Psalm 103, but we're not going to do Psalm 103, so just forget that. But between the time I sent this to Mike and today, There were about six or seven other psalms that had jumped in front of Psalm 103, so this wasn't going to be it anyway. But I am going to read a little bit of Psalm 97 after we listen again to Steve's communion thoughts from Romans 8. Think about this in the context of our judging problem. Not just judging others, but in some ways judging ourselves. I'm not even the judge of myself, you know? I'm not. God is. Thank you. Thank you that He's the judge. So from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son, so that His Son would be first with many brothers and sisters. And having chosen us, He called us to come to Him. And when we came, He declared us not guilty. And He filled us with Christ's goodness, and He gave us a right standing with Himself and promised us His glory. What can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? If God is on our side, who can be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son for us, but gave Him up for all of us, won't He also surely give us everything else? Who dares accuse us? Who dares accuse us? What do we fear from the opinion of others? What? Man, I want to get rid of that fear I have of the opinion of others. So he says, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? Will God accuse us? No. He's the one who has forgiven us, hasn't He given us a right standing with Himself? So who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For He is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and is sitting at the place of the highest honor in that throne room. He's sitting right next to God, pleading for us in heaven. Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us? When we have trouble, we do. When we have calamity, bad trouble. When we're hunted down or destroyed, is it because He doesn't love us anymore? And if we're hungry or penniless or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? No. For the Scriptures tell us that it's for His sake that we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day. We're like sheep awaiting slaughter, but despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. For I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't, life can't, angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us. I want us to go ahead and stand right now. We're going to sing, but I want to read this before we sing from Psalm 97. And there's an amen in your heart, if not in your mouth, at several of these phrases. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and consumes His foes on every side. And His lightning lights up the world. And He sees the earth and it trembles. And the mountains melt away before the Lord. God is on the throne, the Creator of all things, the one who has secured our future, the one who has said, not guilty. He's the judge. And we praise him. Let's sing.